You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So there are big changes coming through in the form of the EFT payments that relate to what is known as the Common Monetary Area. Obviously, that area includes South Africa, Namibia, Lesotho, and Eswatini. And the changes that are being proposed, or changes that are going to be implemented, are significant because it now is going to affect how money is moved by banks between these countries. I imagine this has something to do with a little list that's grey in colour that we are on, the little naughty list that we want to be getting off of. But we're going to look into this and try and unpack what's happening here. I'm joined on the line by CEO at Payments Association of South Africa, Gita Herling, to take a look at this. Gita, thanks so much for taking the time. I suppose let's start by understanding how the Common Monetary Area came about in the past and what its benefits were from a transactional point of view.
So as the name says, and thank you, Jimmy, for the opportunity, and good evening to you and your guests. As the name says, the Common Monetary Area, although there are currencies in different names, they basically are pegged to each other and they're at a one-to-one rate, irrespective of what happens. And what that has meant historically is that when you make a payment between, say, South Africa and Lesotho or South Africa and Namibia, you could treat it exactly the same as you could a domestic payment. So as if I were paying you from my South African bank account to your South African bank account. So quick and easy and relatively little information that was required.
Gita, what happens now when the change comes into effect? How different is it going to be? Because I understand the change was supposed to come into effect in April. It's been deferred to September, but it looks as though September is a hard date, much like the two-pot retirement system. Everything's happening in September.
Yes, well, I think after that we start getting into year-end volumes and people don't want to make big changes to systems. So that's part of what would drive the date. There are two elements or two pieces to what has to happen in September. The first relates to debit orders. So today, a collector in South Africa can collect a debit order from your, say, Namibian bank account. That cross-border collection of debit orders is going to be stopped entirely. And what will happen is if your insurance company is collecting your debit order in Namibia, they will have to have a Namibian bank account for doing that collection. Now, that makes a lot of sense when you consider how much time and effort we put into managing the due diligences domestically around the debit order system and into preventing rogue debit orders, you know, the old 199 and 99 rand scams. And it's obviously much more difficult to manage that kind of thing cross-border, as well as dispute regimes. So that's the first part, and that probably affects the average consumer less than the next piece, which is that if you are now making a payment into one of the CMA countries, it would be treated exactly the same way as a payment to any other international jurisdiction. So instead of going to your normal pay your beneficiary on your online banking site or your app, you will now go to the global or cross-border or whatever your bank happens to call it site, and you will pay there, and you will have to add in more information in order for the payment to be processed.
Now, Gita, I've got a base-level understanding of this from a financial perspective. This now steps into the realm of exchange control in the Reserve Bank and things around your discretionary allowances and having to make sure that you are compliant, because now, effectively, we are moving into the clear world of offshore payments, and we're now saying that a payment is going to be classified as an offshore payment regardless of whether it's going to Eswatini or whether it's going to Namibia, as an example. Is this something to do with the fact that we are on a grey list and there has been concerns around the ease of flow of funds in South Africa? Could this have anything to do with that?
So while the South African payment system in this specific instance weren't actually cited in South Africa's grey listing, there is a FATF element that's driving this conversation. And that is that FATF has very different rules for how domestic payments are treated than how cross-border payments are treated. So when you think about it, if I'm a South African bank paying to a South African bank, we function under the same regulatory regime for onboarding customers, due diligences, KYC, know your customer, anti-money laundering efforts. And what happens is if there's additional data needed, there's a time period that is allowed where that information can be provided because we know it's been obtained at account opening. In the cross-border environment, it's different because everybody is opening their accounts, doing their due diligences under their local regulation. So you can't simply say, I will provide the information to the Namibian bank if I'm a South African bank in a matter of 2 or 3 days. So there are exemptions for the amount of information that has to be carried in domestic payment messages relative to the amount of information that has to be carried in cross-border payment messages. And that is determined at a FATF global level, which is a big part of what's driving this conversation.
Geeta, from a payments perspective, obviously the infrastructure that we have, as you mentioned, is not what's come into question, but rather some of the other things around how the payments are reported and dealt with and classified and that sort of thing. Does this then mean that the banks or the payment providers or anyone that you're engaging with that may have been leveraging off of South African infrastructure and our payment systems would then potentially have to explore their own sorts of systems that then integrate with ours? Or is it too soon to tell just based on how the CMA was structured previously?
So we're in the fortunate system where there is a system within CMA and, in fact, Border SADC that we can use. It's not designed for low-value payments. However, at least on an interim basis, we are using an existing system that's run by the South African Reserve Bank. So it's not that we've had to go and build new payment systems for this. You know, just to give you a sense of the scale, we would expect, and we don't see all of these numbers because we're a South African organization, but we would expect that less than 1% in volume compared to South African EFTs actually go from South Africa to the CMA countries. It may be higher, obviously, for Namibia into South Africa. So these aren't huge volumes and don't in their own right justify a separate and bespoke payment system. So we are in a fortunate place where we can use an existing system.
Certainly interesting developments, especially if you are in or if you interact with any of the CMA countries. These developments are going to affect you materially and how the flow of funds moves between South Africa and these countries. We'll leave it at that, Geeta. Thanks so much for those insights. Geeta Erling, CEO of the Payments Association of South Africa, on the new adjustments to EFT payments within the Common Monetary Area.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.